Hello and welcome to the Marlena program for the week of September 10th, 2007. We have a great show tonight. We're going to give away something absolutely spectacular. Stay tuned. This program is brought to you by HumanWare, advocates for Braille literacy, and manufacturers of the Braille Note M-Power. For more information on the Braille Note and other fine HumanWare products, visit them on the web at www.humanware.com or call HumanWare at 1-800-722-3393. And indeed, this program tonight is brought to you by HumanWare. HumanWare has begun a new sponsorship with us, and so we're very fortunate to be able to actually kick that sponsorship off, quite coincidentally, with the great prize of a Victor Reader Stream, of course, manufactured by HumanWare. I see by the listener count that you're all anxious to get going with this, so we will, but let me do a little bit of housekeeping around the house here first. Of course, I'm Marlena. If you are listening to this program at any time between 6 to 8 Pacific or 9 to 11 Eastern on a Sunday night in North America, or 1 to 3 hours universal on a very early UTC Monday morning, then you're listening to a replay, and we'd like you to put your feet up and enjoy because it's going to be a great show. If you are listening live during these times, we will be opening the line in just a little while, but before we do any of that, I'd like you to get comfortable, get your favorite beverage and enjoy, because I'm going to bring into the family a person who's become a very good friend to me, someone whom I was very disappointed I didn't meet at CSUN because he wasn't, for whatever reason, able to attend. But I did finally get to shake his hand and give him a hug at the ACB National Convention. And that is Mr. Jerry Chevalier from HumanWare Canada. And Jerry is the product manager for the Victor Reader Stream. Welcome to Marlena, Jerry.
Good evening, Marlena. Thank you very much for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. And first of all, on behalf of the American Council of the Blind, on behalf of ACB Radio in particular, we thank you so much for the donation of the Victor Reader Stream.
Well, I've always been a big fan of ACB Radio and was listening to it for almost from the inception and before I ever came to HumanWare. So I was happy to help you celebrate the 7th birthday party, and I just hope that the Victor Reader Stream made that birthday celebration a little more exciting for everybody.
Oh, I think, in fact, I know it did. We had quite a number of contest entrants, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But, you know, Jerry, in case someone has been living in a cave or under a rock or, you know, they've been to, Mars or walking on the moon and they don't know what the Victor Reader Stream is and what all this excitement's about, tell us a little bit about the Victor Reader Stream.
Well, the Victor Reader Stream is the latest player, Daisy and MP3 and NISO player from HumanWare's Victor Reader family of Daisy players. We started building Daisy players back in 1997. Our first Daisy CD player came to market. It was called the Victor Reader Pro, and we've been building Victor Reader Daisy players ever since then. The interesting thing about the latest model of the Victor Reader, which is the Stream, is now the most advanced, the most functional, and also the most portable of all the Victor Readers we've built. So it takes into account our 10 years of experience. It has the most functions and features of all the Victor Readers, even though it's in the smallest package. And we also think it's all very affordable and very exciting product. It's a handheld MP3 player at its heart, but it understands the Daisy format that's used around the world now, in Canada and Australia and many parts of Europe. and by RFB&D in the U.S., and it also will understand the what's called the NISO format that's been adopted by NLS for their digital talking books, and just many more things to come, which means that you can basically take this little device. It's designed for computer users, so people who collect books and music on their computer by downloading and by buying CDs and whatever mechanism they use to build a book and music library on their computer. And they want to have a portable device to take away that those books and music with them. And that's what the Victor Reader Stream is intended for. It'll connect to your computer and let you transfer the books and music to the player. It stores all of the information on a removable SD flash memory card. That's like the little postage stamp size cards that you find in digital cameras these days, and many other commercial MP3 players that you can buy. That's what we use in the Victor Reader Stream, is an SD secure digital flash memory card. And you copy files onto that SD card from your computer. You organize them into what we call bookshelves. So you can have a bookshelf of talking books. You can have another bookshelf for MP3 books. Let's say those are recorded books that you might have downloaded or buy. You can have a music bookshelf for all your favorite music, and you can organize it by genre and by album and by composer or singer or whatever. You can also put text files on the machine, because it does have a built-in computer-like voice to render text files into audible speech. And finally, it has a voice recording feature. So if you're a student or professional, you might want to record lectures in the classroom or meetings that you're attending, and you can play those back as well. So very versatile little player, built in what people have told us is a very attractive, very cool-looking case, and we're just very, very proud of the product.
You say little. How big is little?
I don't have the specs in front of me. If memory serves, I think it's 4.6 inches by 2.6 inches by about 0.9 inches, just less than an inch thick. So that's like a large deck of cards.
So it
fits in your shirt pocket for sure, and definitely fits in the palm of your hand. And even with the battery, it's only weighing about 6 ounces.
So it's kind of the smallest thing going.
Well, we would have liked to make it even smaller. There's some commercial credit card size MP3 players. We're a little bit bigger than a credit card, but we do a lot more than the standard commercial MP3 players. So for what we're offering, we're quite happy that we have, we think, a very portable and very attractive and very affordable MP3 player for blind and low vision people. Retailing in the U.S. at $329.
Now, I know we have people sitting on the edge of their chairs, so let me ask you this before we get ready to call the winner. Are they available for purchase?
Yes, we launched the product. Our goal was mid-August, and we missed that by about 3 weeks. We've been shipping now for about a week, and we're just about caught up on all the orders. People have been pre-ordering the product since the summer shows at the beginning of the July holiday season, and we're very excited about the enthusiasm of the marketplace, and so very happy that we're finally now got the first production run finished, and we're shipping the product. And I subscribed last week to the new user list that's already been started, and I see many people are announcing on there that they have in fact received their stream in there. And they're all playing with it and putting books on there and music, and they're all commenting
wonderful.
On this and that. So it's just wonderful to see that people are enjoying the product and finally have it in hand.
Well, let's get Gary the board guy to call the winner. And it's very technically complicated here. We yell, you see, back and forth to each other. So I mute the mic. I yell, call the winner. He yells, all right. And he's going to yell to me the moment the winner's phone starts to ring. So we're just going to stand by here. You know, this is like watching the kettle boil. Everybody's sitting on the edge of their seats at home. Jerry, I can feel the tension. It's building and building.
Well, including me, because you and Gary know who you're phoning, but so I can't wait as myself. It's very exciting.
Very exciting. And we will talk about how the judges and the contest, how we arrived at the winner, etc. Okay, it's ringing, and we are...
Hello.
Hi, may I speak with Linda?
This is Linda Knight.
Well, hello, Linda Knight. This is Marlena Lieberg with Jerry Chevalier from HumanWare Canada, and you are the proud winner of the Victor Reader Stream.
Oh, yippee! I'm really shocked because I've never won anything.
Well, say hello to Jerry. Jerry, meet Linda Knight.
Linda Knight, my name is Jerry Chevalier. I'm the product manager for Victor Reader at HumanWare, and I'm just delighted to meet you and congratulate you for your submission to Marlena will talk a little bit about it, to the birthday party contest that ACB sponsored, and congratulations, way to go. You must have had a stellar submission. I can't wait to read what you wrote. I have to ask you, Linda, where do you hail from?
Where am I from?
Yes.
I'm from
where are you
Newport,
living now?
I'm Newport Richey, Florida.
Newport Richey, Florida. Wow.
Yes.
That's a place
and
that...
I wear cochlear implants, so if you can just speak a little slower for me, that'd be great.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Well, Linda, what will you use the Victor Stream for?
Well, I would use the Victor Stream for reading books, and I have did my research on the Victor Reader Stream when it first came out, and I've listened to the different demonstrations, and it's been the first product that I've been able to understand, portable product that I've been able to understand.
Oh, you mean
with my cochlear implant?
Do you mean the synthetic speech works better for you?
The speech, I think it sounded like, Emily, no, what is that, the speech that's on it, there's a woman on it. It sounded very clear for me, and I was
good.
So tickled.
Good.
I was so impressed.
Well, that speech is excellent, isn't it?
That's
it
very
is
rewarding
very
for me
so.
To hear. That's wonderful, Linda. We are using a new speech from a company called Nuance, and the text-to-speech is called Vocalizer, and they named the voice Samantha. It's a female voice, and it's one of the newest technologies out there, and we're just delighted that we were able to get it onto the stream. And what you're telling me is something that's the first time I've heard that. We never thought that the speech might be helpful to people with cochlear implants. But it's working well for you, so hopefully that's a good thing to know, and I'm just very pleased to hear that.
Well, thank you very much. Samantha's on my Staffy 5, and so I know what Samantha sounds like, and that's the one we're talking about, right?
Correct.
And she's very clear.
Well, Linda, congratulations, and I will get your information to Jerry, and he will be in touch with you, I'm sure, toward the beginning of the week.
Well, I want to thank you all so much, and I am so proud to have won it, and I really thank you so much.
Well, happy birthday, ACB Radio, right, Linda?
Right. Happy birthday, ACB Radio. Thank you so much.
All right, Linda. You have a good night. Go celebrate, but keep listening.
Thanks for participating, Linda, and congratulations. We really hope you enjoy your stream.
Well, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let me tell listeners a little bit about how the contest worked. What we did was we asked people to send in a submission of 75 words or less explaining why the stream would be beneficial to them at home, at work, or at play. We asked for your name, your address, and your telephone number. We told you that you needed to be home to receive the call. I think we got 59 or 60 entries, which is a tremendous amount for such a short period of time. We only ran the contest maybe it was a week, to keep it right around the birthday and keep it right, you know, zipped up and keep everybody's interest up. The judges were Daryl Shandro, Jeff Bishop, and myself. And Rachel Bader received all of the entries through the contest email. Rachel stripped all of the contact information from each entry and numbered the entries and then sent them along to the three judges. And then we went back and forth and back and forth and we because I'll tell you, Jerry, I wish you had 60 streams to give away. There were such heartwarming and wonderful and some cool entries that, in fact, a couple of them, I'm going to send them along to you with their contact information because I think there's some good advertising in there. We had one person who entered and spelled out Victor Stream and had a sentence for each letter and then, you know, pretty much said, I really want this because I want to stop carrying all this other stuff in my backpack. And, I mean, that's the quality of entries we got. They were just fabulous. So I want to thank everyone who entered the contest and, again, congratulate Linda Knight as our winner. Well, Jerry, our hearts can settle down now.
Well, I'm really glad it's going to be a highly functional and exciting and fun device for Linda to use by the sounds of it. She's very excited, and she's going to put it to good use. I'm just delighted.
Yes, I think so. Let's talk a little bit about, let's stay with the stream for a minute, but I do want to talk about your position with HumanWare and what that entails, et cetera. But how was the idea of the stream born?
Oh, boy, where do I begin with this? In HumanWare, we have a process that's very well defined for developing products, and it's all based on a roadmap. We try and have a 2 and at least a 3-year horizon. So in the case of Victor Reader, we're always thinking 2 to 3 years ahead of time. What do we need on the market? What's developing around the world in different places? And how does the Victor Reader product need to respond to that? So in the case of the stream, we first conceived of this some 2 years ago. We knew, as did, well, I guess everybody knew about NLS coming in the United States, and it was going to be the birth, if you like, of navigable digital talking books in the U.S. When the NLS library came online in 2007. Their business plan, which has been documented on their website for some time, talked about introducing download books in 2007 and then book cartridges in 2008. And up to this time, our main activity for Victor Reader since 1997 was elsewhere in the world, except in the U.S., Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic has always been a big supporter of Victor Reader and has resold our products, so they've been our number one customer in the United States for some number of years, and we have an excellent relationship with them. But we have to get ready for NLS coming online because that's the biggest library in the world. And when you look at the market, NLS, its membership of some 700,000 people represents about half of the talking book library members in the developed part of the world. So whatever NLS decides to do is going to influence the market. We also knew that NLS was going to build their own player, as they have had in the past. They provided their own cassette player, and they had indicated from the beginning that it was their intention to supply a fairly robust and a kind of a desktop-style player, but much, much more portable than anything that they had previously had in the cassette world. So we looked at that, and we thought that there was probably going to be an interest for a different style of player as well, because as there was with cassette players, many people in the United States had always looked for Library of Congress-compatible cassette players that were more portable and had different features, maybe a recording capability and so on. And it was to meet their needs to be have a talking book player for NLS cassette books that was allowing them to be mobile and go to school and go to work and so on. And we said, you know, in the digital world, that'll probably also be the case too. And so we should think about if we want to have a player that's going to play NLS books, what should it look like? And we thought, well, it has to be a flash player because the first books, at least, are going to come download to computers. And so people will need to transfer them to some kind of a portable device. It'll probably have to have a flash memory card. So that seemed fairly obvious. And when you start with that kind of a roadmap looking 2 years out, you start to conceive of what the product looks like. And then the next step is you have to look at who's going to use it. So if we wanted the product to be targeted to people that had computers and could download the NLS books and other books, then it became obvious that it should also play, let's say, Bookshare books. It should also play text files. Of course, people want to have some fun, so it should be a standard MP3 player that plays music. And we know all the pitfalls of the commercial MP3 players out there, and we know that Victor Reader is accessible on its CD players, so we wanted the flash player to be at least as accessible, if not more, than our CD players. We had tremendous success with the classic, so-called Victor Reader Classic Plus CD player around the world, and RFB&D also uses that player for their CD books, and so we thought that reproducing that user interface, it was highly usable by people all over the world, and a simple numeric keypad, telephone-style keypad, was the primary component of the interface. And we just reproduced that on the Victor Reader Stream and gradually built it out. The two things that we added that aren't on the Classic Plus are a text-to-speech component, because we knew that people would want to play text files, and those would have to be reproduced in an artificial text-to-speech. And we added a recording component, because when we talk to users, they say, please, I don't need a fancy digital recording player for music and so on, but I just need something I can take to school and record my lecture or make a quick voice note with a phone number and an address, something simple like that. And I sure would like it if I could have that simple voice recording as part of my talking book player. So we threw that into the kit bag of features, and out of that evolved the design for the Victor Reader Stream, which then took us approximately a year from the time the project was formally launched with our engineering department and so on, and until we got to product launch at the beginning of July.
Now, I always think it's interesting how these products proceed along their development line, because that's something that we as the consumer don't always hear about. And, you know, we all sort of grumble, and sometimes rightfully so, although certainly not in this instance, I think, about the high cost of our technology. But there is a tremendous amount, isn't there, of development time and engineering time that just has to be recouped.
Oh yes, it's like any business. You know, we're no different than any other manufacturer. When we bring a product to market, there is a risk. I mean, is it going to sell or is it not going to sell? And how many units do we have to sell to break even? And how many units do we have to sell to be profitable and make a margin? And part of my job is to try and do that market analysis and project over the first 2-3 years of the stream when it's on the market. What do we think it will return in terms of sales? How many people will use it? What will that market look like in the U.S.? What will it look like in Canada? What will it look like in Europe? And how do you build a product that when you're on the international market, there's so many different kinds of talking book libraries out there that have different kinds of content. And so you want to make sure the product is going to respond to all of those markets. And so it's just a fascinating challenge to try and put all of these things into a bag and shuffle them up and then dump them on the table and prioritize them and say, okay, this one is the most important, this is second most important, this and this are a must-have, this is an optional, this is going to cost this amount, and this is going to cost that amount, and you're just constantly making trade-offs in the design. It's really about designing a player where you're always making trade-offs between cost, between time to market, between portability or not portable, and trying to come up with a balance that will work for everybody. So you end up with a product that hopefully is about 90% of what everybody wants. I don't think it's ever possible to build the perfect product, but we hope we came close with Stream. Two of the interesting things that we did put as a top priority we wanted the price to be as affordable as possible, and we thought we had to be less expensive than our CD players. When we do the market research around the world, the libraries for the blind are always saying, make the players cheaper, but of course they always want more features as well.
Of course.
And certainly, when you look in the U.S., it was the same there. We knew that most of the Stream customers were going to be end users that were using their hard-earned dollars to buy the player for themselves, that it wasn't going to be purchased for them by an institution. And we wanted it to be affordable for people. We wanted them to have something that would be exciting and fun to use, but that they could afford. So we really were tough on that part of it. The second thing is I pushed hard for this, and I was backed up by the management team in HumanWare. It wasn't really a tough sell, but we said we want it to look good. We want to build something that doesn't look boring. We don't want a black box with white buttons. We want people to take it out and put it on their desk and somebody to say, oh, that's a cool-looking thing. What is that? And that reaction we wanted people to have. We wanted them to have a product that not only was functional and fun to use and had a lot of features, but also looked cool and looked attractive and felt good in the hand and looked visually appealing to people that can see it.
Well, I think you succeeded along both those lines. I certainly know the second is true, because being a beta tester with this Stream, I've had several people say, what is that cool looking thing? So it's really nice as a blind person, you know, to be hanging on to something that actually looks good and not something that is just kind of blah looking. We're going to open up the lines so that you can talk with Jerry yourself. The number is 866-666-7926. Gary, the board guys, open the lines, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. You're listening to Marlena at the mainstream of acbradio.org and WTNDLP Macomb 106.3 FM.
Yes, indeed, and it's an exciting program tonight. We have my good friend Jerry Chevalier from HumanWare Canada. He's the product manager for the new and exciting Victor Reader Stream. I've been beta testing it since July, and I've just been loving it. Jerry, one of the things I love about the Stream, among the many, is the way in which you update it. You want to tell people about that a little bit? They get a Stream, okay, fine. What do they do then when we get some new additions to the firmware? Do they have to send it back to you?
Oh, definitely not. That would not be what we would call a usable product if you had to ship it back, and certainly would be expensive for us too, and not very usable for the user. So, Marlena, you've had some chances to install a number of revisions of the software, because we've been pretty busy in beta during July and the first part of August. You guys have done a few installations of software and patches and upgrades. And what we do is the Victor Reader program is quite complicated. There's 7 or 8 modules that make it up, but the engineers have figured out a way to package all of those into a single downloadable image file that contains all of the program, all of the recorded voice prompts, and all of the translation tables that are needed for text-to-speech and so on. And we put that single file, it's about 7 megabytes, I think, in size, and it goes up on our website. And all you have to do is download it to your computer, and then just like you would copy any other file from your computer to the Stream, you copy this file using Windows Explorer. You just plug in your Stream, or if you've got a card reader for the SD card on your computer, you can take the SD card out of the Stream and put it into your computer. And you copy this single file to the root of the SD card, and it's got a special name, and as soon as you put the SD card into the Stream, it looks for that special file name, and if it sees it, it just issues a message and says, hey, I've got an update file, and I'm going to update you I'm going to update your stream to version 1.0 point whatever. It tells you the version number, and then it goes away and works for about 50, 60 seconds, I think. And then it'll give you another message saying your Victor Reader stream has been updated to version 1.1 whatever. And then it'll shut itself off. We do that automatically so that when you turn the player back on, it'll then reboot the new software that's just been installed.
And
that's all there is to it.
And the pre-recorded prompt that tells you that you've updated sounds so proud of itself. Your stream has been successfully updated. It's very...
Oh, yeah, that's our Victor voice. You know, we're so lucky to have access to that fellow. He's up in Canada.
He's great.
He was the first Victor voice in 1997, and he's still around. In fact, one of the things we had to do on the stream project was, even though many of those recorded voice prompts have come from way back, because a lot of the we've reproduced the Classic Plus from the Victor Pro, and then we reproduced the Classic Plus into the stream. So a lot of the messages were still unchanged from all those years, but we had to have our Victor guy re-record everything, about 400 prompts, because his voice had changed a little bit over the years.
Oh,
and we said, hey, it sounds a little bit different when he says welcome to Victor than it does when he says something else, you know?
Yeah.
And so part of the stream project was he redid the entire series of messages. So he's got a superb voice. It's so friendly, and we're just glad we've had access to him over these 10 years.
Yeah, he has a great, great voice. Well, let me just let folks know the lines are open at 866-666-7926. There's a lot of you out there, and we'd love to hear from you. Jerry, let's...
You know, I just thought of something, yeah. Marlene. You can keep this tucked away for a future show, but with the permission of the gentleman that does our Victor voice, maybe you want to have him on the show sometime, and he can just say, now that he's got some people hearing his voice in the U.S., it
sure.
might be interesting for...
to meet the Victor voice.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We could probably arrange that if he's willing. Anyway, we'll talk about that sometime.
Absolutely. Hey, we have a call. Let's bring them on in. Hi there. You're with Jerry and Marlena. Who's this?
Hey, it's Chris Westbrook. How are you?
Hey, Chris Westbrook. How are you?
Not too bad.
Good.
I am the proud owner of a Victor stream. It's sitting right in front of me. I'm really enjoying it.
You know what, Chris? You're breaking up a little bit, but I think you said you're the proud owner of a Victor Reader stream, and it's sitting right there in front of you.
Yes, that's right.
Wow. What do you like about it?
The cell phones. I like to kill mine.
I know. I did kill mine. I got another one. What do you like best about the Victor Reader?
I think the variety of stuff it plays. I mean, I know that the fact of putting Audible in the future, and I like reading the Daisy, you know, the thing from Bookshare.
Uh-huh.
The only thing I don't like about the Daisy stuff is word and character and that kind of stuff. But I like to be able to do that, because sometimes when I don't always hear something right, and I like to be able to spell it out or something like that. But
okay. I was just going to ask Jerry to respond to that. Chris says, I'm not sure if you could catch it all, Jerry, being phone to phone here, but the one thing he wishes that that the stream could do is move by word or character with the Daisy.
That's a very good suggestion. We do have movement by word and character in text files.
Okay.
And,
yeah, I'd heard that, but I'd be nice to.
Yeah, and this is something that came up in the beta round in July, and because there are Daisy books that are text only, you know, Bookshare being the prime example.
Right.
People have said, can you take the text file navigation and add it onto the Daisy books that are text as well? And so we're definitely looking into this. So
okay.
It's a great idea, and it makes a lot of sense.
And that's really my only real complaint. All that and. When I try to lock the screen playing text to speech, it stops reading, and I'm not really sure why that is. But
it sounds like you're doing a great job analyzing the player, because you just tripped over a bug. As far as I'm concerned, that's a bug. We're working on that. It's the text to speech is causing the player to stop the audio stream. So. As soon as you press on a key, it tries to play an MP3 message, which interferes with the text-to-speech stream that's going on at the same time. And so we have a little work there to do
I was hoping that was a bug. I didn't think that was a unique feature, but I wasn't quite sure.
No, I don't think that's a unique feature.
No, I don't think we could. I don't think we could convince people that that's a feature, because it even happens when you try and raise the volume, the speech will stop. So, I'm not sure I could sell anybody on calling that a feature.
Well, and I'm a programmer myself, so I know all about finding bugs and SE release and all that kind of stuff. So I'm certainly not being critical at all, but I really enjoy, I enjoy the stream, and I'm using it. One of the things I found was the sleep mode. I use that when I'm exercising so that I don't have to keep track of the time so much, because when it stops reading,
What a great idea. So when it stops reading, you can stop sweating.
Wow, that's great. You could use that to boil eggs, but you'd have...
You'd have some pretty hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah, 15-minute hard-boiled egg. I guess we should have put a 5-minute timer in there.
I was going to say, that'd be nice if you could, lower the limit down a little bit, but it's still, even with 15 minutes, time intervals, pretty flexible for that.
Well, Chris, I hope you keep enjoying your stream.
I will.
Yeah.
Good to talk to you again, of course.
You too. Keep listening.
I will.
All right.
So thanks for calling in, Chris, and thanks for supporting the Victor Reader stream.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a great product.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
866-666-7926. We'll take your calls for Jerry Chevalier here on the Marlena program tonight. Jerry, of course, is the product manager for the HumanWare Victor Reader stream, and to celebrate ACB Radio Interactive's 7th birthday, which all of ACB Radio celebrated, we were given by HumanWare a stream to give away. We had a contest, and the winner was Linda Knight in Florida. So, Jerry, I want to... never mind. We're going to take a call. I was going to ask you a question, but let's bring our caller in. Hi there. You're with Marlena and Jerry. Who's this?
Hello there. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Timothy. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
Good. Do you have a question?
I certainly do. I just wanted to find out if it's available in Canada, and would it be affordable for those who are on fixed?
So, is it available in Canada?
Oh, yes. We've been shipping units in Canada for about a week now. They've been going out almost at the same time as the U.S. shipments heading out of to U.S. customers, and definitely it's available in Canada. Now, if you want to know the price, I don't know if I can remember. Everything that I work with is around the U.S. price. I think we're selling in Canada at $360 Canadian dollars, if I remember.
Ouch.
But certainly, give our customer information people a call. Where do you live, Timothy?
I'm right in Halifax.
Okay,
Halifax,
so you probably can. You're in between Montreal or Toronto offices, so you can phone either. Just pick up the phone and talk to the salespeople in Montreal, and I'm sure they'd be happy to take another order. That's for sure.
All right.
1-888-723-7273.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, Timothy.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. I want to continue to talk about the stream, Jerry, but I'd also like to kind of broaden out a bit and talk a bit about your position, the position of a product manager. What does that mean to be a product manager?
Well, different companies manage the product management portfolio in different ways, but the way we do it in HumanWare is I work in the marketing department. Our whole innovation and product design is based on responding to customer needs, and so we drive the product design and the product upgrades of existing products from the marketing side. So as a product manager, you need to be someone, in my case, of course, I'm a user, and HumanWare is always anxious to find users who are qualified to do these sorts of things. I hope I'm qualified. My background before I came to HumanWare, I was self-employed as a software developer, and I developed software systems. Primarily, my niche was medical clinics. I developed systems for medical clinics that interface to the public health system in Canada. And so I did that for many years, about 25 years. I'm an old guy, Marlena. And
careful, I'm not sure you're as old as me.
That business started winding down in the early 2000s, and of course, over that time, I have RP. I became blind over that time. First, low vision and large print, and eventually migrating to technologies like JAWS and so on. And so I understood technology. I was a user, and in Canada, I became very excited around 1997. With the Victor Reader Pro and the DAISY talking book program that CNIB was researching, and they said they were committed and they were eventually going to switch their cassettes to this. And so I became involved with that as a volunteer. I told them I was excited about that project, and I'd just like to be in on the inside if I could lend a hand in any way. So I learned a lot about DAISY, and I met guys from Visuate at that time. It was the company that built the Victor Reader Pro, and so I knew those guys from an early time. And as time went on, I worked quite a bit with CNIB as a volunteer, eventually chaired the library board of their talking book, CNIB Library for the Blind Division. And then when the job for Victor Reader grew, and they eventually decided they needed a full-time product manager for that line of products. And so I applied for the job, and I was delighted to get it. It was a little bit of a switch for me becoming an employee after working for myself for so many years. But it was thrilling to be asked to shepherd a product that I really believed in and that I use myself. And I think that DAISY, the navigation capability in these digital talking books, is probably definitely the most significant thing that's happened to recorded books in their 60-year history. So,
well, I think that we are very fortunate that you were chosen, and we have a call, so we'll bring them on in. Hi there, you're with Jerry and Marlena. Who's this?
George Wurtzel from Michigan.
Hello, George Wurtzel from Michigan. Can you speak up, sir?
Okay.
There. That's better.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank HumanWare. They've done some really cool, neat things. One of the things you gave away at Victor Stream, we gave away 8 Trekkers this summer.
Whoa!
And Leader Dog ganged up, and we made people write essays. And all the essays that people wrote for the Trekkers that we gave away are posted up on our website at campt.org. My question for you, though, is do you think there'll be a point in time in the future when we'll get all of this stuff into one box ever? Do you think we'll get the ability to have, like, the stream and a GPS unit and a telephone and all those things in one box?
Well, you know, that's the famous kind of discussions that come up when you discuss technology and product roadmaps, as I mentioned to Marlena. But really, I can't see that ever happening. There's a number of reasons why it's impossible to have the all-in-one perfect box, because, number one, you have different target user groups. So the person that primarily is interested in MP3 and talking books is going to look for a player that's $300 or $400. They're not going to look for a $1,000 player, which also happens to have GPS and video games and mixes here, you know, hard boils your eggs in the morning and does everything else. So if you're trying to build one product for every blind person and every low vision person, it's almost impossible, because they have very different needs and very different capacities to be able to pay. And even if you could build the perfect device at a low cost, it would almost be impossible to use, because it would have so much complexity that some people would say, well, you know, I can afford it, but it's just got so many buttons and you have to press so many things to make this happen, because you've made it do, you know, so many things. So, there's definitely a trend to putting more and more functionality into small devices. We see cell phones are certainly bringing GPS into the cell phone market. And as the smartphones become more and more powerful and capable of doing more and more complex things, it seems likely that they would be able to handle the complexities needed to play DAISY books. So it's possible that we might see GPS and talking books and cell phones come together. That seems like something that could happen.
I have to tell you, the other really cool thing we did with it, we took a Braille Note PK and we downloaded the USGS maps into it, and then used the Braille Note PK to sail a 70-foot sailboat out on Lake Michigan this summer, too.
Wow.
Totally blind people navigating the sailboat successfully. We didn't run into any islands. We didn't run
wow.
up on any shoals. Or
that is so cool. Now, are those different from, here's an ignorant question perhaps, but are those different from the Sendero maps, George?
They're from U.S. Geological Survey people, but you can load them down. Mike stayed up until 3 o'clock in the morning one night trying to figure out how to fix these things so we could use them.
Wow.
And so he finished up like at 3 o'clock in the morning. We had them. We were on the boat the next day at 8 o'clock or 10
wow.
o'clock in the morning using them. So it was pretty cool.
That's very cool. Well, you do cool things at Camp T.
We're trying.
All right. Well, thank you so much, sir.
Hey, thank you, and thanks, HumanWare.
All right.
Well, you're very welcome, George, and thanks for doing all those cool stuff, all those interesting things with the Trekker. It's a lot of fun, and it's just great to see how blind people are doing things we never imagined even 10 years ago that they'd be able to do.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
Chris Garbowski from
Buffalo?
From Sendero, from Buffalo. He yeah. came and spent a whole week with us at the camp for our GPS event this year.
Wow.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, when you get Chris around, you can't help but have fun.
Guys, have a great night.
All right, George, thanks so much.
Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, George.
I love it when George calls. We had George on the show as a guest. He's a pretty cool guy. He's a totally blind contractor. And by that I mean, you know, hammer, nails, wood remodeling guy.
I listened to that show. One of the things I did in another life was build a house, and I was imagining, and I could see pretty good in those days, but I was imagining what George was describing, and it's incredible.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. We have another call. Let's bring him in. Hi there. You're with Jerry and Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, Marlena.
Hello, Jeff Bishop.
How are you tonight?
Well, hey, I'm hanging in there, but
oh,
I know
good.
You don't want to talk to me. You want to talk to Jerry.
I do, actually, but I'll be calling you in the second hour because I do have a question for you.
Okay, well, okay.
And we'll do that later, but anyway.
Yes, well,
good evening, Jerry.
We may keep Jerry on way past the first hour, so.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll call you on the phone later, then.
All right.
Anyway, hello, Jerry. How's it going?
Very well, Jeff. Jeff is another one of our beta testers and has just provided us some great feedback and done some stellar looking into the different functions of the stream. So I know he likes the product, and we certainly like what you've been able to do for us, Jeff, and great review on Main Menu you did as well.
Oh, well, thank you. And I know only because I get emails about every 2 days or so on the about this, either on the Main Menu email address or personally, actually, because people have seemed to figure out my personal email address.
Hey, Jeff, can you turn down your background noise?
Oh, sure.
Sorry. There you go.
And I just wanted to find out from you if you knew any further, and I know this is really not up to HumanWare, but more so NLS, what the progress is on the NLS beta?
That's an interesting question because we got an email last week from Neil at NLS, and he said he had some emails lined up to send us because they had approved some people for download, and he was ready to send us some emails. But I asked him, you know, about the public announcement, and so we're not sure when they're going to announce publicly that they're ready with the pilot. It sounds like it's going to be momentarily, but I don't have an exact date.
Okay. All right, that's all I had.
It sounds like they're collecting some names from a few people, so.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, well, you take care, Dr. Bishop.
Yep, we'll see you later.
All right, bye-bye. 866 866-766-7926. And the line is open, and you can feel free to call in and speak with Jerry about his job or about questions about the stream, whatever you would like. Going back to your position, Jerry, now clearly it seems that if one wanted to become a product manager, no matter what company, they would need some background in marketing. Is that a reasonable assumption?
That's a reasonable assumption, yes, absolutely. One of my jobs is, before we can launch a product, a project, I should say, in HumanWare, we have to take a business case to the senior management team. We call them the Portfolio Management Committee. It's all of the senior managers in Canada at the two R&D sites, Canada and New Zealand. And we have to do a business case. We have to say, here's what it will cost to build a product. Here's the markets we're intending to target the product for, the type of people that will use it. We think this is the retail price that we're able to build it and sell it at, and this is the revenue stream. All of the standard things that you see in a business case. And if I can make that sell, then the project will then go into what we call a development phase. And then it's my job to put together a formal specification document. We call it a functional requirement specification. That's like a contract from the marketing department where I work that says to our R&D department, and says, here's a product we want you to build, marketing wants you to build. And then R&D will look at that and come back and say, oh, okay, Jerry, well, here's the product we think we can build, because they never give me everything I want. You tend to be very philosophical in the functional requirements and ask for the world.
Yeah.
And they say, but you also told me, Jerry, you want it ready for the market by July 2007, and you want it to be built at this cost, and you want these features, and so then we start negotiating within HumanWare. And we have a series of meetings, and then we finally come up with R&D, our research and development department will come back with a formal system specification saying, here's what we're going to build. And then it's my job throughout the development phase to continue working with them and make sure, in fact, that they do deliver what they said they would deliver. And sometimes there can be bumps along that road. A feature they thought was going to be relatively simple may not be so simple, and they run into technical difficulties. We have to make changes along the way. The whole design process and development process is really a series of trade-offs. It's quite an exciting process to be,
I bet,
to be part of. And then, you know, when it's all done, then we have to deliver it to the salespeople and help them understand how to sell it and what it does and how to represent the product.
We have a call. Let's bring in our caller. Hi there. You're with Marlena and Jerry. Who's this?
Rosie Gumas.
Hi, Rosie. How are you?
Fine, thanks. I have a question for Jerry.
Okay, go ahead.
Jerry, this is in regard to the note-taking part, the quick notes, and the regular lecture type stuff. What's your limit on time for each of them, and what differs one? I didn't get the details, I guess, of how to do the quick notes and how to do the lectures. What keystrokes do you use or whatever?
Well, gosh, I don't know if we got time on Marlena's show to go into that kind of detail. Hopefully we've done a good job describing all that in the user guide. But basically, Rosie, there's two kinds of recording. You can do what we call a quick recording, and that is you press and hold the record key, and you say a short note, like it could be somebody's phone number you want to record or an address.
Yeah, I understand.
And then when you're done, you just release the record button.
Right.
And that audio note will be created on your SD card. And then we have what's called a long recording, and this is what you suggested might be used for recording a classroom lecture. So you would just press the record button once and release it right away, and you would hear a message that recording is started. And
so
then
the recording button?
It would record continuously until you press the record button again to end it. So there could be a one-hour time between those two presses. So you could record a one-hour lecture, for example.
No, there's just one record button, Rosie. So if you hold down the record button and keep it held down, That's your quick note. That's where you say, oh, Marlena has a wonderful show. Click, and that's all you recorded. But if you wanted to record Marlena's wonderful show, you would press the button quickly and let it up, and the Victor voice would say, whatever, recording begin or start recording or something. And then you're recording, and you won't stop recording until you quick press that record button again. And, and your time depends on the size of your flashcard.
Right. Okay, thanks for that. That's all I wanted.
All right, well, we're glad we gave it to you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Rosie.
866-666-7926. So as you present like a business case on a product, let's say, you're really attached to the product, I'm assuming, at least I would be. And I would be passionate about trying to get folks who need to understand it to actually appreciate and understand it. Do you, do you sort of become attached to these ideas? Are they like your kids? You know, please let me practice.
Oh, I can tell you that the Victor Reader Stream is, it really feels like my baby. This is, a very exciting product for me. It's, When we talked about the concept and the users told us what they needed in a flash player, and the libraries in Europe and Canada and so on told us where they were headed in the future, which was download books and all of this, I said to the team, you know, what they're telling us they want is a very complex device, a very advanced device, but I said it's going to be a lot of fun if we put it all together the way they want us to. And I push hard to put all of those things, including the recording. The recording was a tough sell because, that drove up the expense and the time for the project.
Yeah.
But, you know, we said, gosh, people don't like to carry multiple devices. And at least if we have voice recording, that it wasn't as expensive as if we had highly, like we have on some of the Olympus high-end digital recorders.
Sure, yeah.
He said, let's not go there. I said, if you can just give me voice recording, that'll work for 90% of the people. They're going to school, they're going to work, and they'll probably go out and buy a proper recorder if they're musicians and so on. That's a subset of people that need really fancy stuff. But the basic everyday guy out there that listens to talking books, a lot of them like to record the classroom lectures when they're students or record meetings, so this is the kind of debate that goes on. You know, we are trading off between adding expense to the product, to the product, and adding functionality, and removing functionality often removes cost, but it makes the product less interesting. Sometimes adding functions makes the product bigger. You know, if I told them I wanted 10 to 15 hours of playtime, and they said, "Oh, Jerry, you're going to need a big battery." And it's going to make it bigger. And I said, well, then I guess I better not ask for 30 hours. and so you barter back and forth, and you end up with a design. The cool look was a very interesting challenge because we had to get a professional industrial designer to help us with that. You need somebody that builds a box that also holds all the electronics, so he has to work very closely with our engineers. They show them what they plan to put on the circuit board and so on and the components, and he builds a box that sits around that, and then he also has to understand what we want for the look and feel. And we're all a bunch of engineers and software guys like me with software and background and so on, and sometimes, you know, we need somebody to inspire us, so we need a guy that's creative. And the industrial designer we used in Montreal was just a great guy. He had some great designs, and we did a lot of iterations on that little box before we finally settled on the custom box that we built for this stream.
Well, we have another call, and we're going to take that caller just in a moment. We'll be back after these messages. This week's Marlena program is brought to you by HumanWare. Visit them on the web at www.humanware.com. HumanWare.com or call them at 1-800-722-3393. HumanWare, empowering people through Braille literacy. Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page.
at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. You're listening to Marlena at the mainstream of acbradio.org and WTNDLP Macomb 106.3 FM. All right, I am Marlena. My guest tonight is my good friend Jerry Chevalier from Humanware Canada. We have a very patient caller who's been holding on for many minutes. Welcome on in, caller. You're with Jerry and Marlena. Who's this?
This is Kelly Sapurja.
Up in, not Moose Drool, Moose Jaw, Canada.
I know Kelly Sapurja. Well, we've never met face-to-face, but we've talked a few times, and he lives next door to me. I work out of Alberta, Canada, and Kelly is in the province of Saskatchewan, Canada, in the bustling metropolis of Moose Jaw.
Yeah. Well, you know, and Jerry, there's a beer here called Moose Drool. And so when Kelly first moved to Moose Jaw, I kept telling everyone he lived in Moose Drool. Go ahead, Kelly.
I just wanted to congratulate the winner of the Victor Reader Stream, and I'm afraid I tuned in kind of late.
Linda Knight in Port Richey, Florida is the winner.
Oh, well, congratulations there to you, Linda. Anyway, my question for Jerry is, I know that the stream has, you know, the voice synthesizer for reading the textbooks, or books written in text. Is there any plan on implementing that in the desktop units at some point?
Well, there's always plans. We need to evolve the desktop, and it's interesting that you asked the question, because in Europe, many of the libraries are telling us that to reduce cost and add more flexibility for their book production and more content, they want to move to more text-only books as well as recorded. So they're telling us that future desktop players must consider text-to-speech. It's going to be something that they will need in those players. So when I talked a few minutes ago about roadmap, certainly the future roadmap for our desktop players has to have text-to-speech as a consideration, Yuvan.
Okay. Yeah, because it sounds like really good speech. I wonder if it's going to, you know, be used by products like JAWS or something in the near future, you know, as well.
Well, JAWS actually is using real speak on their version 8. They introduced it for continuous reading. And Vocalizer, the voice we chose from Nuance is the same company that provides RealSpeak, and also the same company that provides Eloquence. Vocalizer is kind of a sports car version, if you like, of RealSpeak. One of the challenges on portable devices like the Stream is that you don't have the luxury of memory and disk space that you have on a PC. So trying to have human-sounding text-to-speech is a real challenge on portable devices. And Nuance somehow has figured out with some magic how to take some of the best parts of RealSpeak, the human-sounding speech, and combine that with Eloquence, which is a superb text-to-speech engine as well, but sounds very good at high speed and is very responsive. And they've sort of taken the best of Eloquence and the best of RealSpeak and morphed them into something they call Vocalizer, which takes just a much, much less memory than RealSpeak, and so we're able to fit it on the Stream.
Yeah, and it sounds really good in the demos I heard.
Well,
so have you got a Stream yet? You don't have one yet, Kelly?
No, I'm afraid I don't, but I sure would like to see one of those sometime.
You should have sent in to the contest.
Oh, he can't because he's an ACB radio
DJ. Oh, because
DJ.
That's right, you have an ACB radio show, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Northern Lights.
They would have lynched us at dawn if we... Well, Kelly, you'll have to get together with Jerry and get your hands on one of these things and take a look at it.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I was just going to say, if you don't mind my mentioning this, Jerry, I actually did the narration for some of the product presentations for Humanware.
Yes, that's right. On our Victor Reader Classic X product, and I think it was the Victor Reader Classic Plus with recording, if I remember, we had a little 3-minute infomercial that we wrote up on that product, and Kelly Spurgia provided the narration and the production of that 3-minute commercial.
Well, you
as well as the wave is in there, too.
And the wave, that's right. Yeah. You also did the wave for us.
You couldn't have anybody better than R. Kelly. He's a top-notch production guy.
Those are a lot of fun to produce.
Yeah, and you did a superb job. They were great. We call them infomercials, and I think they're up on our website if people want to listen to Kelly's infomercials on the wave and the Classic Plus recorder.
All right, Mr. Kelly, will you have a good night?
Okay, yeah, you too.
All right, thanks so much.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. Does blindness cause any barriers that you had to get around in doing your job? Is there anything that if you were sighted, you would do perhaps differently or more easily?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I not a lot, Marlena. I mean, there's some of the obvious things, like being more mobile and driving a car and getting from point A to point B. Some of those, well, let's call them logistical things, would be easier. But really, my job consists of processing a lot of information, as you can imagine, doing the market analysis and writing up the business case at the beginning of the product projects. This is really working on the internet, gathering data, talking to people, gathering and storing requirements from libraries, because libraries are our main customers for Victor Reader up to this point. And with the stream, it'll become more and more end users will come into that mix. It's being able to use the access technology and gather that information and know how to manage it. Business cases mean using tools like Microsoft Word and Excel. And as long as you understand the access technology and can process that information, for me, at least in my job, the blindness is really a case of managing information access and managing data. And that's the main part of what I do. And, of course, communication is the second part, communicating internally to our HumanWare team and externally to end users and customers and going to conferences and representing product and so on. So it's a very manageable job for a blind person if you understand how to manage data and do information access and use the technology properly.
Well, thank heavens for access technology. And we have another
You're
caller.
Right. I couldn't have done a job like this 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
That's for sure.
Exactly. So. We have another call. Let's bring him on in. Hi there. You're with Jerry and Marlena. Who's this?
Steve in Kingston, Ontario. Marlena and Jerry, good evening.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm good.
It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, well,
hi, Steve. It's been a while since I talked to you, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm good. I know you and I have to Skype, Jerry. I'm still having some difficulty getting this Bluetooth headset working. If anybody has any pointers on Bluetooth.
Oh, don't even talk to me about Bluetooth right now. Don't even. I think that's an art of I'm going to work today and I'm not going to work tomorrow and there's not a darn thing you can do to fix me.
Well, that seems to be my experience as well. Anyway,
and I don't think I'm going to even bother trying because Steve is a technology expert. He's been using this stuff for I don't even want to say how many years. If he can't get it to work, I'm not even going to bother.
I know. If Steve can't do it, forget it.
I have two questions, one for you, Marlena, and one for Jerry. Yours, I want to congratulate Linda. I work with a colleague who wears cochlear implants, and she has benefited from the CNIB library program since she got her cochlear implants because she was pretty close to totally deaf prior to that, and she now enjoys audiobooks, thanks to the library through the Partners Program. So I'm certainly a little familiar with them. I was wondering whether Linda's winning entry will be posted anywhere.
You know, we hadn't thought about that, but I don't see why it couldn't be.
Great.
Yeah.
You commented on the high quality of all of the entries earlier.
Yeah.
So it would be good to see how hers outshone the others, as it were. And
yeah, I wish we had 58 more streams to give
there you go.
Everybody
Man,
that
I do,
applied.
Too.
That was just... tremendous response to your contest, Marlena.
And, you know, and I've been a judge on other ACB contests, ACB radio contests before, and, you know, there have been, you know, a few that, you know, you'd be like, oh, I want to give it to this one and this one. And this one, literally almost everyone, I was like, I want to give it. No, I can't. Wait, and it was so hard for us to really pick the winner. I mean, it was just we talked about it for 3 or 4 days, and we finally got it all sorted. So it was fun.
Well, I don't think that the contestants could have asked for better judges, that's for sure.
Oh, thank you.
One question for you, Jerry, has to do with the formats. All of the demos that I've listened to have focused, of course, on the U.S. market. Where are we as far as the stream's ability to play the Plays for Sure format that the Net Library uses that, as you know, is a partner of the CNIB Library?
Well, the Net Library is a challenging one. That's WMA, Windows Media, with
yeah.
DRM.
Oh, yes.
And so we're, I have to throw on my marketing hat here and say we're researching it. Everybody hates, I always said when I was a user that I hated marketing guys because they never give you a straight answer. And now that I'm a marketing guy, I'm kind of into this double talk that, it's in a research phase. We want to put WMA in the product. It was in the initial requirements when we conceived of the product, and it's one of the most challenging ones because it's expensive to develop, and there's external businesses that we have to interact with. So I can tell people that it is a goal, and as soon as we can say for sure that we have it working, there will be an announcement. At the moment, though, the best answer I can give is we want it on the player, and we're doing everything we can to research how to do that.
So we're still waiting for a nice, small, accessible player for that service.
Yes, yes, because we use Net Library here.
Right.
If our city libraries are affiliated, and the Seattle King County Public Library is affiliated, and so I get to download those books, but, you know, sit at my computer and read them is just not something I,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
And public libraries in Canada, many of them are accessing the Overdrive Books now, which is the provider for the Unabridged project in the
yeah.
U.S. And
yeah,
I can tell you, Steve, I'm listening to a book right now from Net Library, a WMA book on a creative Zenstone player, a little tiny thing. And, gosh, I wish I could put this on my stream. I'm one of the users that wants it as much as anybody.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Zenstone was Plays for Sure compatible.
Yeah, well, it's
the little $39
one. It's playing the $50 one. Yes, it plays
yeah.
WMA. I'm listening to a book now.
Well,
and I think the Olympus will do it too. Although I haven't done it with the Olympus, but I don't enjoy listening to. Now I know there are people who don't agree with me, but
I do agree with you myself.
I miss the access. You know,
yeah.
It's like the old fashioned access when wow, we thought it was really great because we could figure out how to move around in the thing, or we could. But boy, you can't put a bookmark. You can't get back exactly to it. So I've gotten spoiled.
Oh yeah, the Zenstone is driving me crazy because it's you know, as someone that's lived with using Victor players for 10 years,
yeah.
I have no sleep key. I have no variable speed
right.
control.
Yeah.
The rewind, if you press and hold it, it fast forwards. But if you tap the key accidentally, it jumps to the next file, but it doesn't bother saving the current position. So if you do that accidentally, then you've lost your reading position, and you go back, and you're at the beginning of the book, and you have to fast forward all these hours to get where you want to get.
It's like having a cassette player again.
Exactly.
But, you know, that's it is small, though, that's for sure. It's about the size of, I would say, five loony coins stacked
yeah.
one on top of the other.
Yeah.
Marlena, the loony is what we call the dollar coin up here in Canada. It's,
oh.
Because it has a picture of a loon on the front, so everybody calls it a loony.
Well, I'll be in Canada in a couple of weeks, so I'll ask for a loony.
Hey, we also have a $2 coin. It's called the toonie.
That's
the loony
cute.
And the toonie. So there you go. Now you're all Canadian.
There you go.
Ready? What they missed, Jerry?
I know. Well, Steve, we'll just have to move there. That's
exactly.
All. That's all. Are you going to go to CSUN this year, Steve?
I don't imagine so because I'm on a short leash now. I'm retiring at the end of June.
Oh.
And they're not giving me anything new.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad.
The way it goes when you make the decision to
Yeah. Well, you deserve it. And call me again, and we'll keep in touch.
Absolutely.
And congratulations on your impending retirement. That's coming up pretty quick.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? The problem is, I think in my mind, I'm already gone.
Now, don't get that short-timer's disease, Steve.
Right. So now you're going to have all kinds of time to work out all the technology issues for all of us. You should start a website.
That's right. You can become a consultant.
Well, I was listening to Main Menu on Tuesday and certainly hearing the positive things about Station Playlist has once again whetted my appetite to go back to my first love.
Ah, well, you...
Hey, there you go. So tell Jeff Bishop there to get a hold of Steve.
That's right.
We got to start generating some content for Main Menu.
That's right. Let us know when you're ready.
All right. It's a deal.
All right, Steve. You take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
866-666-7926. I had a delightful lunch with Steve and his wife a couple of years ago. Gary and I met them at CSUN, and we had a delightful lunch. He's just a delightful, delightful person. And we have another call. You're a popular guy, Jerry. Hi there. You're with Jerry and Marlena. Who's this?
Is Daryl Chandreau.
Hello, Daryl Chandreau, one of our contest judges.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to be able to look at all those entries, 56 in total, and they were all great entries, and it was a blast making the decisions there.
It was. It really was. It was hard, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Boy, we had some discussions, didn't we?
We did. We did. But it was great. It was absolutely, you know, I think to pick three pretty spirited people, all of whom could keep their eyes on the prize and keep the focus, you know, it was great. I had a great time doing it. I hope we get to do it again.
Absolutely. Hey, Jerry, I wanted to ask you an interesting question. Myself being an accessibility evangelist and yourself being a product manager, you talked about, I was listening earlier when you were talking about business cases for doing things. And, you know, there's a lot of issues now that are here or are looming on the horizon. You know, we have CAPTCHAs, we have visual verification schemes, multi-factor authentication schemes involving pieces of hardware that visually display sequences of numbers that, you know, blind people obviously can't see. We have Web 2.0, Ajax. We have a lot of applications made by mainstream companies that are not accessible, and that translates into more and more jobs that a blind person should qualify for, but frankly don't qualify anymore because they aren't accessible. So why should anybody bother to make anything accessible? And then what does that mean for for blind people being able to afford things like the Victor Reader Stream and other products?
Well, there's, in the manufacturing business, every manufacturer, including HumanWare, has to be profitable. We're a for-profit company, and you have to build and innovate products that will generate revenue. The other side of the equation is that some of these products are mandated by legislation. If I look at the BlackBerry that's manufactured up here in Canada by RIM Research in Motion, they're being frustrated on the U.S. market because they're not an accessible device, and we're actually happy that we're working with them to try and make the BlackBerry accessible. So this is a case where the business case is there, but it's really influenced by public legislation. So I think there has to be a balance. In my mind, there always has to be some kind of legislation. I think we have to require that certain things are accessible just because there's a marginal part of the population, we are somewhere between 3% and 10% of the population that need accessible devices, and if you rely only on business to cater to that market, it will never happen. So if you think of the business case for the stream, it's really there because NLS, in the United States at least, NLS is the main driving force behind the stream product. It's probably the most number of stream users will play NLS books. That'll be the most prevalent format on that player.
Mm-hmm.
And NLS is a public institution. So the fact that the U.S. Library of Congress is providing talking books has created a business case for that player. So there's always a balance between profitable business cases, and some of them are influenced by public policy and public legislation.
Okay, so you believe that it all comes down to legislation and profitability.
No, I think the two work together. I mean, the fact that we play MP3 music on the stream has nothing to do with NLS. That's just a good feature to put in the product to make it more attractive and more saleable.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps the business case. So there's a mixture of making a product that's interesting, because at the end of the day, people have to buy it. NLS will provide a free player, but if people want the portability and extra functionality of Stream,
mm-hmm.
they have to pay hard-earned dollars for that. So we know there's a big market because a lot of the NLS users are going to want this kind of player. So we have an appetite. We know there's a market that's interested in the player. But we have to make it do more than just play NLS books, or I don't think many people would buy it. So we're really mixing when we do market analysis. It was really the impending NLS book, digital book, that told us that the time for the stream had probably arrived. But we knew we had to do more than play NLS books, that's for sure.
That makes sense, Jerry. And I, appreciate your time. And Marlena, did Jeff get a chance to mention what's coming up on Main Menu?
No, he didn't, so why don't you?
Yay! Okay.
Yay!
Well, coming up on Main Menu, we will be hearing from Rick Harmon, who will demonstrate the SK Read utility for automatically reading certain Skype events.
Oh!
Yeah, it's kind of neat. It's a little interesting utility. And then we'll be also hearing from Neil Ewers, who will be talking about the new Zoom H2 digital audio recorder.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Neil is such an expert in these digital audio recorders. I mean, he is the master of the digital audio recorder, I swear.
Yeah, he's played with a lot of them, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And then in the second hour of Main Menu Live, you get to talk with a panel of bloggers, blind bloggers.
Oh, who's on your panel?
Myself, Jeff Bishop, and Nikki Kobe.
Aha, Nikki Kobe. That's great.
Yes, Puppy Braille's going to be on. Jeff's going to cover community server, and I'm going to cover blogger, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what runs blindaccessjournal.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then Puppy Braille's going to talk about live journals, and she's available at puppybraille.livejournal.com.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I'm very proud of her. You know, I've known her since she was in the third grade, and we've been kind of at the time in her life when she didn't want anybody to know she was blind, so she wasn't going to read Braille. You know, when you're nine, you want to be like everybody else, you know. And we've been through all that together, and I'm just so proud of her now. I can hardly stand it. So.
Oh, yeah, she's great. She's really doing a lot of things, and tearing down her barriers there, and she's a great advocate too.
Yep.
Which is
she sure is.
Which I really appreciate.
Yep. All right. So, well, that sounds good. We'll have to try to listen in on the Main Menu Tuesday. Well, give your times before I mess them all up.
All right. It's Tuesday evening here in the United States at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and it lasts for 2 hours. The first hour is pre-recorded. Once again, produced by yours truly this time.
Hey, hey.
And then the second hour is live, and that's 7 p.m. Pacific and 10 p.m. Eastern, or also known as Wednesday, starting at 0100 Universal Time.
All right. Well, you're an expert at that, Mr. Chandro. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on, and thanks for talking to me, Jerry.
Have a great
day. You're very welcome. Thanks for calling, Daryl.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. It's about 27 minutes past our second hour here on the Marlena program. I want to tell you a little bit. Next week, we're very hopeful to have a visit from our friend over in the UK who has talked with us about spirituality and reincarnation. And so we're hoping that we're going to be able to work that out again for next week. And, of course, as I sit here and tell you about that, his name has just slipped my mind. Paul, I'm sorry if you're listening. I just forgot your last name. So honesty is my trademark here. But we are hoping that Paul will be joining us next week to bring back that very popular topic that we had, I think, almost a year ago. Jerry, we have another call. Let's bring them in. Hi there. You're with Jerry and Marlena. Who's this?
Oh, this is Roger.
Hello, Roger Peterson.
You're not supposed to tell them my last name.
I'm telling all your secrets.
Well, let's see. First of all, I want to say to Jerry that I saw you in Minneapolis doing the stream demonstration. I enjoyed that at the Lua session.
Oh yes, at the Lua session.
And
that's Library Users of America for folks who don't know.
What I of course, I think instead of doing audio recording, what I think you should be able to do is edit a document on there. You should be able to go into it and change characters in it. But anyway, I know if I want to do that, I can get a maestro, right?
That's right.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
The other thing I wanted to tell you was that I've been around a long time, and there were people like us doing some of what you do 20 years ago, and it wasn't as easy then, of course, but we were doing it. We were doing things with VersaBrailles, and of course I used to do tech support for the VersaBraille. And by the way, in regard to tech support for the VersaBraille, I keep wanting to tell you, Marlena, when I hear Kelly Sapergia on there, that when I first talked to Kelly Sapergia when I was a telesensory, his voice hadn't changed. Give you an idea how long ago that was.
Well, you can tell us some of Kelly Sapergia's secrets then.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, there are other people like Laurie Scharf who...
Right.
Who were my customers when they were like 12.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, Laurie's only 13 now, so, you know,
yeah, right.
She didn't get old and neither did we.
It's fun to watch them grow up.
If you still have that tape of Kelly, maybe you should put it on as a promo for his show and things.
Oh, Kelly's up there in Moose Jaw cringing now. I can see it.
Yeah. Well, I remember that little voice that he used to have. I also wanted to mention to you, Marlena, that I noticed at the beginning of your show, I don't know what the story is with your automation system, but you came on right in the middle of a promo for the web, you know, the Yahoo CAPTCHA petition.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes our automation does evil things.
It just cuts out
it
part
said,
of
yep.
PSAs and things.
It said it's now time for Marlena. Click. Yep.
Yeah.
It's
we'll let it go this time.
We'll
forgive you for that, along with forgiving you for not giving me the stream.
Oh, right. Yeah. Sure.
Okay, well, I think that's about all I have to say. Otherwise, I mean, I think I had a few more things to say, but I forgot them.
Well,
when
you know,
when you get old, two things go bad. One is your memory, and I can't remember what the other one is.
Yeah, there you go. Well, see, you need to get a maestro to write this stuff down so you don't forget it.
No, I guess so.
There you go. That's,
okay,
that's
we'll
your
talk
next
to you later.
Challenge.
Bye-bye.
All right, take care, Roger. Bye-bye. Now, there's
Thanks,
a voice.
Roger.
There's a voice of someone who's been in this industry for a long time, and Roger serves with me. I chair the ACB Information Access Committee, and Roger and Jeff Bishop and Pratik Patel, and, you know, you start naming people and you're going to make everybody mad that you forgot, so I'll stop there. But we have some very well-known names, folks serving on that committee, and Roger is one of those people. Well, Jerry, what about Audible.com? I've been waiting all night for somebody to ask the question. They didn't ask it, so I'll be the devil's advocate here. Where is it? When are we going to get it?
Well, we are close with Audible.com. I'm really hoping we're trying to get it into the version 1.1 upgrade, which is nearing completion.
Mm-hmm.
We do have Audible books playing in our lab in Montreal on the stream. It does work technically. So we're down to the final crunch. We need to get the player approved by Audible. And we're hoping that'll happen and that we'll be on time to get it into the version 1.1 release. I'm happy to say when it's there, I can tell you, Marlene, it's going to be the most sophisticated, the sweetest Audible player on the market, because you're going to have Audible books with variable speed control.
Oh, man.
Accelerated fast-forward, bookmarking, sleep function.
Oh, man, bookmarking. Wow.
All the things that we do in our MP3 books, we're planning to do for Audible.
Is there anything that your customer base can do to push this along? You know, in terms of contacting Audible and saying, you know,
The summer was a tough time because a lot of key people are away on our side in vacations,
sure.
And with Audible, we've never had they're very excited about the product and they understand how accessible it is for blind people, and they fully understand that there's they don't really know for sure, but they know there's a lot of blind people using their service, and so they're very pleased that we brought a powerful product like this to the market, and that Audible will be part of its feature set. So I think it's all routine at this point, and they're just going through the steps, and then we have to do the packaging, and I hope my quality assurance people don't penalize me on something we did wrong and say we got to fix it. But it looks like it's all going to happen for version 1.1. So stay tuned on the HumanWare website and subscribe to our new newswire for the stream that our communications manager just created last Friday. And that's where you're going to hear about all these kind of things.
And how do we subscribe to both the stream list and the newswire?
The stream newswire is a one-way announcement-only email. So if you go to the stream webpage at humanware.com, the stream product page, you'll see on there a link that we added last week called Register to the Newswire. And that's just a little form where you fill in your email, and then you will get it won't be very busy because you're only going to get announcements.
Sure.
You're not going to get things every day. And then the other list is a discussion list started by Carolyn Congdon out of Milwaukee and Bruce Taves up in Winnipeg, Canada. They're co-moderating a user discussion list, and they tell me they've got over 100 users already, and I think it's only a week old.
Wow.
And to subscribe to that, you just send an empty email message to vrstream-subscribe@ogts.net. That's Oscar Golf Tango Sierra .net. vrstream-subscribe@ogts.net.
Well, I'm going to do both of those things as soon as the show is through, because I just think the stream is such a I feel like we're at the beginning of the stream, you know. I feel like we're at the ground floor, and it has nowhere to go except up in terms of, you know, firmware updates, improvements, etc. And it's just a phenomenal product. Now, does the actual release product, does it differ any physically from the one that the beta testers were using?
Well, we did have actually, if you've seen some of the discussion with some of the beta testers, we had a couple of beta testers bump into a problem, and I did on my own test unit. We had a faulty audio connector where you plug the headphones in.
Yeah.
And that didn't show up in June when we did pre-production testing. We had an initial production run for demonstration units and testing. It didn't show up till about the end of July. It seemed that you needed to use the player for a while before it developed. But it was kind of a sticky contact, so when you pulled the headphones out, the player didn't necessarily know that they had been taken out.
Right.
So the speaker wouldn't come on. So you had a totally silent player until you plugged the headphones back in. So we were trying to fix that, but as we did more and more analysis, we found out that, in fact, it was a fault with the supply of audio connectors that we got from our supplier. And so we were just racing in the middle of August trying to figure out how we could airship new audio contacts and reopen all of the streams and,
oh my gosh,
and get guys with soldering guns to replace that audio connector and try not to delay too much the shipment. So it was a bit of a hectic time for us, but... So the production ones coming out are different in that regard. So the one that you have potentially could develop this problem. It wasn't on all the units, but it was on a high enough percentage of units that we didn't want to ship.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm very fortunate because I have not had that problem yet. But if I do, Gary and I are ham radio operators, and he's a whiz with a solder gun, so we'll call you and you can guide us along there. The telephone number is 866-666-7926. We're coming up close to 40 minutes past the hour, the second hour of the Marlena program. And so if you're listening to this program at any time other than 7 to 8 Pacific, 10 to 11 Eastern on a Sunday night in North America, or 2 to 3 on a very early Monday UTC morning, any time other than that, it's a repeat. So put your feet up and enjoy and take a soak in the stream with us. I can't remember where I read that, but someone...
You soak in the stream.
Yeah, someone said they couldn't wait to soak in the... It might have been one of our contest entrants. I can't remember, but it just cracked me up. I thought, what a great motto that is, soak in the stream.
Yes, somebody said recently, I forget who said to me, to get into the stream of things with stream.
Yeah, so yeah.
A few people are making a little bit of buzz out of the name, which
yeah.
is good.
Yeah, yeah. How do you feel about this, Jerry? You got to feel pretty darn happy that something that you kind of brought to the table as a concept is now in demand worldwide. What does that do for Jerry Chevalier, the guy? Never mind the product manager, but for you, how do you feel?
Well, you feel very rewarded, of course, because you're shepherding one of the most exciting products that's come into the assistive technology in a few years. And but of course, it's not all about me. It was a real team effort. Every meeting, every concept that got into Stream was done was designed by committee. We had engineers, we had marketing guys, myself. We had the sales team. Who understand the clients and what they're asking for. So it was always a collaborative effort, but it's me as the product manager coordinating all the process between those different departments of Humanware and watching the stream. You know, the very first time I saw it inside of a little box, a handmade box in the lab in Montreal in January this year, and they actually had a book playing. We were all jumping around Humanware saying, "The stream is playing a book. The stream is making noise," you know. And actually, we didn't have a name for it at that time. It was the code name for the project was a Quebec National Park in up here in Canada. So we weren't using the word stream at that time because we hadn't picked a name yet. But we were all excited because there were so many things planned for this player. And the day that it first made a little noise, you know, and it said a couple of sentences of a book, and then it stopped. and the guys said, "Gee, I wonder why it did that. It doesn't. That's the same code from my Classic Plus. It doesn't do that, you know." And so the programmer wasn't excited. He was just frustrated, and I was jumping up and down.
Yeah.
I don't care if it stopped after two sentences. It made a noise.
It made a noise. Here we have another caller. Let's bring him on in. Hi there. You're with Jerry and Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, Marlena. This is Pam in Visalia.
Hi, Pam in Visalia.
I almost said Orlando. We're going out down there in a couple of weeks.
No. I know you're not in Orlando. I would have moved you back. Don't worry.
Yeah. I just wanted to congratulate Linda Knight. I think this is really great. You know, I entered, and it would have been nice for me. But I think, judging by what she said about being able to use her implants, it's far from nice. It's maybe even a necessity or damn close, and I am, you know, I said to Dave, I said, you know, this is good. We're disappointed, but that we didn't win it, or one of us, like, who's going to pick up the phone first? But we did not win it. But I said to him, you know, this is good. And he said, yes, it is.
Well, Pam, I had to tell you the honest to God's truth. I didn't know that you had entered, because literally we took the names of what we thought were the absolute most cogent, three most compelling reasons that we had received, and so I had no idea who entered it. So I'm sorry you didn't win too. But
like you said, I wish he had about a 60 to give away.
I know.
I basically said it would be great for me to take on the goal with all my traveling and listen to radio shows that I hadn't gotten a chance to listen to at home and that I had recorded. That would be nice. It would be wonderful.
Yeah.
It's not a necessity in my life.
Yeah.
As this is for her. So we're very glad.
Well, go ahead.
No, also, I thought it was very interesting what you said about, or what Jerry said about making an attractive-looking device, because it is, for myself, I wouldn't care what it looked like. But I do know that people, sighted people, come along and they say, oh, what's that nice thing, rather than what's that god-awful piece of gray metal? And then... it's a goodwill. It does this, it does this, it does this. And again, the sighted person learns that we can do a lot more things than they might have thought. So it's a goodwill tool on top of other things.
Well, Gary wants to buy one. He said it looks so cool. He said it looks so cool. I'm gonna get one once audible.com is available. He's gonna order one. So
that's,
I guess,
cool. That's,
yeah.
Yeah, our usability consultant, he's a fully sighted guy. He's an expert in usability and had helped us through the usability testing of the interface. And, you know, you do multiple iterations. You ask people, do you want soft buttons or hard buttons? You know, should the volume control be here or there? And all this kind of thing. And he said, you know, when you guys are finished, I'm going to get one of these just because it's going to be so cool for playing audible.com.
Cool, and the thing is, anybody can buy it. They just won't have access to the NLS features if they can't use them.
Right.
So thank you, and I'm really enjoying the show. And thanks a million for the contest, and thanks for putting such a wonderful project. And Dave said, I'll bet you're really jazzed of Jerry. Thank you.
It was a fun product, and it continues to be fun as we roll it out. It's just really a lot of fun talking to people about the product and seeing how excited they are.
And Pam, thank you for having such a wonderful and sincere contest spirit. I appreciate that. It's some of these letters were just incredibly. It was just hard to pick the winner. So thank you for having that kind of a spirit to call and be congratulatory to another person who won what you hoped you would win.
Oh, I'm so glad. I really am. I thought, gee, how am I going to feel? I'm going to be disappointed, sure, but if I win, I win. If I don't, I don't. But when I found out, when she said what she said, I thought, yes, this is good. I am glad for her.
Great. All right. Well, you take care.
Thank you, too. Got to go get my chicken. My chicken is calling. Got to go get my timer and turn it over.
Go get your timer and turn it over.
All right. Violated.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care, Pam.
866-666-7926. We have about 10 minutes left, Jerry. We have another call. Let's bring him on in. Hi there. You're with Jerry and Marlena. Who's this?
Hey, this is Buddy.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Let me turn you off over off in here so that we don't get the nice 30-second delay.
Yeah, let's do that. Now, you're in Erie, right?
I'm in Erie.
And you also, can I say this?
Is it
This is another one of the contest entrants that you know, we chose three people out just in case the first one wasn't home. And this is another one of those three people. And tell Jerry why what you told us in the entry, what you were going to do with it.
Okay, well, Gary, I was going to take the stream to Ukraine with me to keep me from climbing the walls. 3 years ago, my wife and I, my wife is also visually impaired, we went to Ukraine and adopted a little girl. And her name's Alina. Now she's 7. It was a special needs adoption. She has seizures. We didn't know she had seizures then. They told us she had other things that she didn't have. But anyway, everyone keep Alina in your prayers. She has brain surgery on the 25th.
Oh.
Oh, my.
So to make a long story interesting, they didn't really know what to do with us in Ukraine. So in between orphanage visits, when we get into the cab and go to the orphanage twice a day to visit Alina, they literally locked us in the apartment that we were staying in. And because we were encouraged to travel light, because we could be moving at a moment's notice, due to appointments or whatever, and getting on the slow train across Ukraine, I didn't bring anything. I didn't bring a computer. I didn't bring any audio books. I brought, 5 music CDs, and I was climbing the wall. So I was going to take the stream with me to Ukraine and put a whole bunch of books on it and have a nice library. So, I may yet still. Who knows what will happen before we go, because we're going back to adopt another special needs child. Specifically, we're going to adopt a blind child this next time. And
wow, that's great. When are you going back?
We don't have a date yet. We're hoping January.
Ah.
We're hoping for January. And
and you'll be taking your little girl. No, Alina is going to have brain surgery, so she probably won't be in shape to go.
Oh, well, we hope. Well, we're not going anywhere until she's in shape to go.
Okay, good.
Not going to go anywhere. But, she's going with, and it'll be interesting to see how she reacts because, of course, now she says, when you brought her home, she was 4.5, and she claims not to remember anything, but, man, this, she's got some learning disabilities, but I'll tell you what, once she gets something, she latches on. She's smart as a tack. It wouldn't be surprising to me at all if it was just something she wasn't repressing. So it'll be interesting to see how she sort of reacts when we get there.
Well, I love your signature, buddy. His signature is, can I use your last name? Is that okay?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
His signature is Buddy, and then in quotes, "What's up, Alina?" Brannon.
Wow, that's tremendous. You guys, what a beautiful family story, building a family by adopting special needs kids.
See how hard this was, Jerry?
Yeah,
I was just like, oh, man, don't make me have to pick between some of these people.
Now, I talked to you briefly when you were on another show, Jerry, when the stream was first about to come out. Are you planning to support more text formats like PDF and things like that?
The biggest priority in text formats at the moment is BRF. Every place that the stream is used, you got Web Braille in the U.S. You've got CNIB up here. We're really working hard to get BRF into the repertoire for text files.
Yeah, that would be.
And we now have TXT and HTML. We want to beef up the HTML a little bit to provide better navigation. And then the next thing would be BRF.
By the way, a source of free books for anybody who doesn't know, there's a great source for free science fiction e-books. And if you're blind, you get access to the whole shooting match, everything that these guys have published electronically with unencrypted, unprotected, either PDF, HTML, or several other formats. You can get through Bain Books, and it's through webscriptions.net.
Say that again.
Webscriptions.
Webscriptions.net.
And
there's
a link to a form that's through an organization called Read Assist. And basically, if you fill this out, basically certifying that you have a print disability, you get access. They'll give you access to all of their published premium content, which is lots and lots and lots of science fiction and fantasy.
Wow. Well, that's great. Well, buddy, I hope we hear from you before you go back to Ukraine. I'd love to have you on the program sometime to talk about building your family through adopting special needs children. I think that would be a fascinating story.
I'd love to.
All right. Well, you take care.
Thanks, Marlena.
And good luck to you.
All right, you too.
Okay.
And good luck for Alina, too. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Jerry.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, just to kind of wrap things up here, Jerry, I want to give you an opportunity to address anything that perhaps I haven't asked you or something you may have thought of or something you may want to touch back on.
Well, no, there's not really anything. It's I guess I want to say again that we're very excited about the reaction in the marketplace, and we appreciate the support and thank everybody who made a commitment to purchase the stream, and so many of them before they even saw the product, just based on our descriptions and information on the website, it shows real commitment to HumanWare, and I want everybody to know that we're going to work very hard to continue to build upon the stream more features and more functionality and continue to make it the exciting player that we believe it is. And it's a fascinating project to work on for me, a very rewarding one. And I think as the stream people receive their player and open up the box and start using it, they start to see what incredible functionality we have, even before we've really finished the product. You know, we're talking about WMA and BRF and some of these things, audible.com, and it's going to be a good news story that just gets to be better news as time goes on.
Will you be selling, accessories, that's what I'm trying to say. You know, someone might like, for example, to have two power adapters and two of the little cables that eventually will hook up to whatever NLS is going to do with cartridges. Will we be able to buy those things additionally?
We haven't built the power adapter, but everything that's in the box will be available as an accessory. We'll sell a spare battery. We will have the cables available if someone loses a cable or maybe they want two for some reason, as you say, the carrying case, these kind of things. At the moment, here's the famous thing about design is that simple enough as it might sound, a power adapter is really an entire self-contained project for HumanWare. We would have to build that as a separate product and go through the whole cycle. So it's one of those things where we would need to have an awful lot of people want an external power adapter. So I don't see that one in my mind yet as being an accessory. But the other things will be, that's for sure.
Spare batteries,
cables, and so on.
Yeah. And so anything in the box we would be able to purchase.
That's correct, yes. And there will be next year, I don't have a price or anything for it because we haven't actually built it. But we've tested it. We've got some handmade prototypes of what we call the NLS book cartridge holder. And this will be a little plastic holder that allows you to slide the NLS cartridge into it, and it'll clip onto the back of the stream. If anybody looks at the stream, they'll see a little connector on the back just above the battery door, and that's intended to mate with this little plastic cartridge holder that we'll introduce next year so that if people want to play the NLS cartridge and have it fixed to the player and attached as an integral unit, that will be possible. We're not sure a lot of people will want to do that, so we're going to make an accessory, but it's just one more way to give you some flexibility for the NLS books.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jerry. This has been fascinating. I wasn't sure whether you would stay with us for 1 or 2 hours, but you were a very popular guy, and I think as being the father of the stream, people just wanted to hear your voice and hear what you had to say and have some words with you. So on behalf of, again, ACB and ACB Radio Interactive and all of ACB Radio, thank you so much to you and to HumanWare for providing us with such a wonderful contest giveaway for our 7th birthday. And we wish all the best.
It was my pleasure, and I look forward as we roll the product out. I do have on my agenda a few trips to the U.S., and I will be at the CCB convention in Los Angeles coming up in October for at least 1 or 2 days, so hopefully we'll meet some CCB people down there, California Council of Blind People, and look forward to that and meeting many other stream users in the coming months.
Very cool. And if people in the U.S. want to order the stream, can they just call the regular HumanWare number, 800-722-3393?
Yes, they can. And there is an online purchase page for if people are interested in ordering online, and or they can go through the customer service number you just gave, that's for sure.
All right. Thank you so much, Jerry, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me, Marlene. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Jerry Chevalier from HumanWare, the product manager for the Victor Reader Stream. And we are just about ready to wrap up. Hey, I'm Marlena. It has been an absolute joy to be with you this week. Congratulations again to Linda Knight in Port Richie, Florida. You won the Victor Reader Stream. Join us again same time next week when we will bring another 2-hour edition of the Marlena program right here at the Mainstream on ACB Radio. You want to get a hold of me between now and then? It's Marlena, MARLAINA, at acbradio.org. Stay safe, and I'll talk to you next week. Have a great week.